What is happening?
What is going down?
Down. And on and through. What is happening? Welcome to episode number 2 of the Make Smart Choices podcast. I am Eric, aka Mr. E, and this is Jake, aka Rocket. We welcome you back. We welcome you back. Loving the hat, by the way.
Listen, I get you're in your garb. You're celebrating a big moment.
I am a little bit.
You know, it's a big night tomorrow. Starting off, got the horn. Yep, you know, got the I almost called it a karate chop. You know, because that's what Braves do, is a karate chop.
It looks like a karate chop. I feel you.
I mean, do they have a name for it? Is it just called the tomahawk? Or like,
what? Yeah, well, they used to call it tomahawk. Now they just call it chop.
Chop?
Yeah, it's just a chop. We just chop it, bud. We're called chop.
You can call it the, you know, wax on. No, but I figured if you were going all baseball, I'll go all baseball too.
Yeah, I love it. Love it. Look, listen, I have a lot of respect for Mitt. This is not a dig. This is not a dig. I have several friends that are Mets fans, and to go through major,
what that sounds like,
major, it sounds like it's a dig, but it sounds like the major rehauls that the Mets have to go through, and then to come up just a little bit short every so often. Yeah, it's tough. New York is a tough area to play in, hands down.
For real. But yeah, man, first World Series in what, 22 years? You know, y'all were always the bridesmaid, never the bride, and now
suddenly we're there.
Now y'all are there. It's happening.
It was not too long ago. Mets were playing the Royals in a World Series. Mm. Yeah,
sure. That was 2000s ish or something.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it was
2010s, I guess.
Yeah.
It's weird to say. Do we say the 2010s or do they say the 2010s?
I don't know. If you're talking about the 1910s, what do you call them?
The 1910s? Like,
yeah, then I guess we just call it the 2010s. 2010s? I saw a tweet or something that said in about 20 years or so, they're going to start referring to the 2020s as just 20s.
Probably, because once you get to like 2040, 2050, I don't know a lot of people are going to talk about the 1920s when they say the 20s.
Well, that's what I'm saying, but how odd is that going to be for us as adults? Somebody going to be like, oh, back in the 20s, I'm automatically going to think of flappers and prohibition and the Great Depression, and you know what I mean?
Yeah. Well, but to us, we're in that generational gap to where technology is such a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And the world sort of has better record keeping than it did in the 1920s.
Oh, yeah. Because there's, for sure.
I say better. I guess it's not really better. It's subjective because, you know, it's all electronic nowadays. But
there's quite more quantity of stuff that's being recorded now. So I'm with you. I get it.
Absolutely. I had to Google it because I just wanted to know about it, about the Mets. And it was 2015 when they won the NL pennant last. So they were, that might have been when they fought the Royals. Was it a fight?
They got on the field and they fist fought each other.
They fist fought each other for 4 games.
It was a bloodbath. 7 days of bloodbath.
I mean,
could have been.
Feels that way. But, you know, being a Braves fan, being a Mets fan, like, figured it just kind of made sense to, not that we are against each other or rivals, but.
Well, we most definitely are.
The Braves, well, I meant you and I personally, but if you meant that, then fight me.
Listen, we're in the same division. We are rivals. Now, you and I personally.
That's what I was saying, personally.
Yeah, personally, no, we're not rivals. But our fandom We fall
absolutely.
On, we fall the on Mets, separate Braves, sides.
Mets, separate Braves, sides are a little crazy.
Yeah.
A little cray. But all right, well, let's move this. Let's move into what we here, man. So we're here. We had a wonderful idea submitted to us last. I want to say it was last week, wasn't it? During the last podcast, I believe.
Yeah. It was right after we ended. We kind of were like, "Give us an idea. What do y'all want to hear about?" And like 15 minutes after we ended, it was bam.
Yeah. She's in my chat. I'm sure she's in your chat as well. She's been in multiple chats, but one very awesome individual, Cringy Baby over here, hit us with a topic that was kind of like, "Oh, hey, you know what? That is an interesting dynamic that I would love to divulge into." And the whole premise of this podcast, the whole premise of this is just to talk and like share personal stories, share a little bit of extra, I don't know, not to be like coachy or parenty or anything like that, but we want to be just like we're talking to people. People want to come to our TED Talk. Let's go. So the topic of conversation.
This is a TED Talk.
For the topic of this conversation revolves around rage, and most specifically, I guess less specifically, because it's not necessarily about like rage specific, but it's definitely rage inspired. What is rage? How? What makes you ragey? What makes you mad? What's the Family Guy bit? What grinds your gears? You know, like
yeah.
So, I don't know. Do you want to kick it off? Do you want to go? Share what you got.
Yeah. Let's do a little background. The people that are watching live, y'all probably already know this, but those of you listening out there in the internet world, Rocket and I became acquainted earlier this year through gaming, playing World of Warcraft specifically, but we've played some other games here and there, and certainly I've watched him play some games on Twitch. He's watched me play some games on Twitch. But gaming is probably the central focus of our online relationship, and now we're adding podcasts to that as well. But I think the word rage gets thrown around so much in the gaming community, in gaming culture. And certainly there have been some like meme-tastic viral videos of people raging over video games, and people are like, "Oh, you would not act like that in the public. You definitely would act like that in the public." The one that just comes to my mind when we talk about World of Warcraft, or really two rather, is there used to be the audio clips of the one raid leader that just like berated everyone. Like I used to have a soundboard where I would just like randomly prank call people and use his bits, but it was vulgar and horrible, and he just yelled and screamed. And if you play WoW and you know who it is, let me know, because I can't remember his name, but that always pops up. And then the kid it was a fake video, it would all come out to be fake, but he said that his mom took his WoW account away from him because he was spending too much time playing on the computer. And so like it shows his brother, yes, okay, so his brother hides a camera in his room to show him like freaking out, and he's like punching the bed, and he's like screaming and yelling, and takes the TV
remote.
Yes, like those things pop into my head when I think of raging. But nowadays it's just like whenever I think of raging, it's somebody being like, "You know what, I'm done. Click Alt F4. I'm heading to bed. I've raged. I've left." But is that really rage? Like, I don't know if that's really rage. I'd say that's like utter frustration.
Yeah, I mean, you might be able to relate a little bit to like a sports analogy or something too, because like you've seen they sometimes call them freakouts, or they call them like, you know, when I can't even pinpoint a good example, but I'm sure somebody has plenty. Just like, you know, it's a clutch moment in a game or miss the shot, drop the pass, strike out, you know, insert sports metaphor here, but it actually happens and it comes so clutch and like, it's so disappointing. And it's, I think it's more of a mixture of them letting their team down.
Yeah.
And letting themselves down. So it could be kind of both. That might be a little more rage than like, I don't know, just getting mad at somebody on the keyboard and on the keyboard, on the computer. I don't remember if this was fake or not. You were talking about sort of videos on the internet. I don't know which the first one was you were talking about, the raid leader guy, unless it was the Leroy Jenkins thing. I don't know that, as I was going to say, I don't know that he was really berating. He was just being like ultra thorough and kind of dorky. And the guy just was like, I'm done with this. And then ran in and did the whole famous Leroy Jenkins thing. But what I'm thinking of is there was this old, you know, the game Counter-Strike. Early days of YouTube, there was this guy by the name of FPS Doug. And there's one video that I specifically remember of him that he's running around and he just starts screaming. Like he was actually like sort of acting like, being super.
Yeah. Yeah.
I can't think of the word, but super like
animated.
Animated and like he was very much into the character he was playing, and he would smash his keyboard and he would like basically like he would pretend like he's running, like, what are you doing? He had a big knife in his hand. He's like, everybody knows you run fast with a knife.
Oh, sure.
Because in Counter-Strike you just couldn't drop your weapon or whatever, you always had to have something. There's if you go on the internet and look up FPS Doug, there's videos of him smashing keyboards and doing shit like that. And I don't know how much of that like actually happens in real life, but I'm sure it happens probably more than we might think.
Yeah.
Just doesn't always get caught on camera.
Oh, for sure.
The remote kid, whatever we're calling him, remote kid, is that what he was known for?
That's what he was known for. I don't know what his name is.
That one was staged, right? Yeah, that one was fake.
For sure. Like,
he did that for YouTube.
Yeah.
So I don't know. It's hard to determine whether or not it's an actor, whether it's like someone's actually mad, but
it's difficult to tell online. Videos give you a much clearer answer, right?
Sure.
Much clearer answer through videos or real life personal experiences. Like I know when I played baseball in college, the coach that I had in college was a great guy. Personally, as a person, I really enjoyed him. Coach to player, we didn't see eye to eye on a lot of stuff. He was not someone that I respected a lot as a coach, but it was not because of his ability to coach or lack thereof. It was more the way that he handled situations didn't really do well with me. So I would make a mistake, and then he would do what I would consider raging, where he would like punt a bucket of baseballs across the dugout, you know.
Pick those
like,
up.
Yeah. Or we'd be in practice and somebody would mess up and he would just like take a bat and just like chunk it across the field and then be like, We got an Indian run, go, or we got half mile runs, go, and then we just take off. We just do our things. That in my eyes, a quick spur of the moment reaction to something would be considered the initial rage, and then all of the aggressive actions after that would be considered rage. But not that, that's not frustrated. Like, I believe before he decided to kick that bucket of baseballs when I made my mistake, he was already frustrated. Like,
yeah,
he had already made up his mind that the next thing that happened he was gonna flip. So I as an athletic director now, I watch a lot of coaches that I have hired, coaches that I see across the field or the court or whatever it is. And you can definitely tell the ones that have a temper and what sets them off. And it's easy. I mean, you played football. You've probably seen a ton of coaches just lay into somebody. Would you consider it rage? Would you consider it something that has stemmed from just being frustrated? I don't know.
Well, I think, like, rage by definition is, like, violent and uncontrollable anger. Mm-hmm. And to me, like, if a coach was raging in high school, they would be, like, physically punching kids or, like, you know, doing something to another person, like, inflicting harm and just maybe just, like, flat out destroying basketball court or something like that kind of thing. Like, I can't recall that I've ever would have ever seen like full ass rage from a coach. Mm-hmm. I've definitely seen them get angry and frustrated when like we don't run the play correctly or we don't do something correctly. And then they would, you know, punish us by doing conditioning or other role, PT kind of things. Sure. Like I've told you this before. One of my old coaches was an ex drill sergeant in the Army. Yep. And so he clearly blurt. Well, I don't say clearly like everybody would know this, but he bordered the line of turning high school athletics into boot camp of a sort.
For sure. Yep.
You know, so you got a bunch of 15, 16 year old kids in there doing like push-ups and, you know, sit-ups and pull-ups and all sorts of grueling things just as punishment, just because they were like, you guys lost, or you ran the play wrong, or you don't know how to catch the ball, or you don't know how to block your assignments, and whatever the case may be. But I don't know that I would have ever classified that as rage. But definitely was scary. It was definitely like... For sure. Like when a coach loses his temper or when anybody loses their temper at you, it's hard to like that fight or flight reflex kicks in. Yeah. Right. And so, me personally, tying it to sort of, I guess, more on topic. I get into a fight back mode I absolutely disdain when people like come at me all like, you know, aggressively and shit. Mm-hmm. Like if I did something wrong, I fucked up, I can admit it to it might take a little bit. I may not admit it right away, but yeah. I might be like, nah, you're dumb. You don't know what you're talking about. Even from like the smallest argument to like, you know, like, oh, remember last night whenever you said you wanted to go to this restaurant to eat? And I was like, no, I don't remember that. And I wanted to go to another restaurant instead.
Sure.
To actively like working in retail and like working in customer service and having people come up to you as a customer or something that just flat out scream at you because you are the worst person in the world because you did XYZ.
Yeah.
It's crazy. I just, that to me is more ragey than anything.
Yeah, it's just uncontrollable. And it'd be interesting if any of my former players actually watch this, and then they'd probably call me out on some stuff. But I would say a lot of times, from a coaching perspective, a lot of the situations that happen that you would consider maybe uncontrolled or excessive anger was pre-planned. So I know a lot of the situations that I had as a high school coach, I would see it coming. I felt like I was three or four steps away or ahead rather, from my players. And so like, we'd be hitting ground balls, right? Boom, boom, boom. And I would say, you know what? We're getting to the point where this drill is not effective anymore. And I'm starting to get frustrated over it. And I can tell that they're getting frustrated over it. And one thing that would always like, I'd be like, I've got to just like blow somebody out real quick because, I know what they're about to do. They're about to like, just give in. And what I mean by give in is instead of make a mistake and then be like, all right, you know, I got this next one, I'm gonna get better. They'd make a mistake and then like kick a ball off to the side or they make a mistake and then they just kind of like fling the glove down, this sort of thing. So like you could see it coming, you almost knew the kid that was going to do it. And so we'd get to that point and then boom, you know, I'd do a big shouting, bring everybody together, fuss, 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 let's go run a lap, boom, all right, we're back into it. I can only
fuss.
Yeah, I can only say there was one time in my coaching career that I've had a legitimate, what I would consider a rage moment. And I had no one to rage to except for my assistant coach, because I was driving the bus back from a game. So I'll set up the I'll give you the whole story.
Hell yeah, story time, brother.
Yes. So we were heading to a school. We had a JV game and then a varsity game. It was a big deal. It was a big conference game that we were playing. We were basically playing for outright second place. The first place team was just head and shoulders better than us. We weren't catching them. They ended
up. Did they have any dandruff?
No. But
okay, good.
But they were sponsored by Head and Shoulders.
Got him.
Thank you, Jake. I appreciate that.
I throw you off. I'm sorry.
You're good. You're good. But anyway, it was a big game for our varsity team, JV team, and it really wasn't much of anything. We were just out there to practice. However, the person that was going to drive the bus for the JV team, so that way I could drive the bus for varsity, they had to stay at school that day. For whatever reason, they weren't in school, but they had to stay later, so they couldn't drive the bus early. So I drove JV up, and then they drove varsity up. Well, we had a rule on the bus. The kids always would play music, and they would play music that was just inappropriate to listen to on the bus. It just said some inappropriate things. And so I had killed it. I was like, nope, we're not doing this anymore. I don't like it. I don't think it makes us any better. We're not doing this anymore. So they said, all right, coach, got you. We're going to do it. Of course, because I wasn't there, they did it. And the guy that was driving the bus for them was very much like, yeah, we're not going to do this. And my manager was actually... My manager was actually riding, she rode the bus up with me, with JV, but her boyfriend happened to be on the varsity team. So he was text messaging all the stuff that was happening on the bus to her. What ended up happening was the bus driver driving my varsity team, he had to literally stop the bus on the side of the road and like fuss at these kids, and because he told them like three times, turn the radio off. Turn the Bluetooth speaker off. And they didn't. So he had to literally go back there and take it, which, oh gosh, it sent me into orbit when they got there, because I was just upset with them, like so disappointed. Y'all couldn't just do the one right thing. This is a big game for us. Did not help during that JV game, my starting center fielder or my starting left fielder. I have him down pitching, because we're trying to see if he can pitch as a junior and a senior. Tears his ACL. Tears his ACL.
Rip.
Yep. During JV game. During a meaningless JV game. So I'm already frustrated about that. We'll go back to frustration. Frustrated about that. Frustrated about the whole radio situation and them not being in the right mindset for this big game. And then we lose. We lose. And we didn't play well. We lost like 5-2 or something like that. We didn't play well. And it, oh gosh, everything was so frustrating. Come to find out that the team had gotten wind that my manager had relayed information to me. And they thought that I just wouldn't find out. Like the bus driver wasn't going to tell me all this stuff anyway. So they decided during the game that they were just going to isolate her. Ostracize her from the team. So like she would come up and ask them stuff and they just wouldn't talk to her. And that, like, taking and attacking someone else personally, just that was the last straw. So the entire bus ride home, I was talking to my assistant coach, and this is the God honest truth, I said more cuss words to that coach, just like, this is what we're going to do. This is what's going to happen when we get back to the school. When they show up to practice tomorrow, these are the things that they're going to have to do. And it was bad because there were still kids that were on the bus. It was probably my worst moment as a coach, hands down, because they heard everything I said, and I was like yelling into the steering wheel. However, the good thing that came out of it is we created my number one go-to punishment, because we fixed that problem really quickly. We did a bear crawl style punishment. And
those are fun.
And we never had a radio on the bus again. We never had a Bluetooth speaker. They didn't even sing on the bus. I don't even know if they talked on the bus after that. But it's been my go-to since then, with any of the teams that I've coached. But yeah, man, that was a legitimate rage. I just, for an hour and a half on the ride back home, just like yelled into the windshield, but directed at my assistant coach for him to just like hear all of this.
Because you're driving, right? So it's not like you're going to like turn around and be like,
yeah, no.
These, you tell these fucking kids and like, you know, not pay attention to the road or anything. That could be bad.
Yes. If somebody had shined a light into our bus and saw me, they would have thought that I was like headbanging.
You're like,
I was just headbanging to some like death metal is what they thought I was. I was just screaming, bud. But it was bad. That's a rage. That's a rage for me. Like, get to that point, I've raged. I feel like that's as close as I've been.
So you were saying that like rage is something that you can kind of see yourself getting to, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You saw it coming, right?
Because
you
knew that. Yeah. Well, it was
you knew that the kids were already at it. They were. Yeah. So. And at any point, this isn't like, I guess I wasn't really thinking about this until like just now, but at any point in those steps that you saw coming up, did you ever think to yourself, maybe I should do something? Maybe I should say something? Or did it just feel like, I mean, you can't make the kid's ACL fixed.
No.
I guess the better question is, do you ever sit there and go, I could have done this differently, I could have said this differently? Is there any regret or any sort of...
Now?
Absolutely. Now, yeah. Like,
now yeah, absolutely. Okay. So I was young. I mean, I'm not old now, but I was young.
This was like a beginning in your coaching days, right?
It was like third, fourth year coaching. Yeah.
Gotcha. So you're still green?
Yeah. And I had influences... that I thought were good for baseball, but were really just good for football. For baseball, they weren't very good. The things that I was using to try to coach these kids baseball wise, would have worked really well with a group of football players. Not so much with baseball players, different breed of kid, but,
trying to quote that very, who's the base? Bo Jackson. Bo Jackson.
That's
philosophy
right.
Going.
But
he played both, right? Football and baseball.
Yeah, he did. He did. Yeah. But yeah, man, now I do. And like, I can see it. We just had a volleyball season, and I can tell when I'm getting frustrated with them not being able to do the right thing. But then I will stop. We'll have a water break. I'll pull them in. I'll talk to them for like 2 or 3 minutes, and then we'll go back to doing the drill, and it seems to fix it. Whereas I would typically just let it get out of hand and then be like, oh, nope. You know what? Let's run. So I'm starting to figure it out in that aspect as a coach, how to handle that. In that particular situation, though, Jake, it was like there was no time to do something like that. So it was literally, I'm driving the bus for JV. We get there, we start our JV game. Boom, ACL tear. After ACL tear, I'm getting told all the varsity bus has been pulled over. You know, coach so and so is having to fuss at them. So they get there and I have a conversation with them and I fuss at them and, they all just basically act like, whatever, I don't care. And then they go play the game. And at that point, like, I'm not stopping the game for us to have a powwow in the middle of it. You know what I mean? Like, whatever you say in a game has to be short, specific, and just like to the point. And it's not the time to have a come to Jesus meeting, as one would say. So we never got to that point, so we ended up losing. Everything's frustrating, yada yada yada. And then, you know, my manager gets on the bus and she's crying, and I ask what's wrong, and she says nobody will talk to me, they all think that I've betrayed them by telling you the things that were happening on the bus. And then it just,
so when you say manager, is this like a team manager kind of, like,
yeah,
helping out with,
so,
like, equipment and
yep So
water
she,
and all that kind of stuff.
She kept our scorebook. She was our like water cooler person.
My brain just keeps thinking of like manager in the workplace.
So
you go off and talk to your manager, and I'm like, you mean like your principal or something? I don't understand this dichotomy or this dynamic that you're describing here, man. Like, what are we talking? We had a manager. We had a team manager. She was like a. She wasn't really like a water person, water girl, whatever you want to call her. Like, she was more of like the. She was taking classes at like sports medicine classes at the junior college.
So she was like athletic like her trainer. Senior year.
So she was like athletic trainer light because she obviously wasn't certified and couldn't do a whole lot of things. We did have a full on athletic trainer that was certified to do all that stuff. And he would only be there for like the games, but she went to school. She was still in high school. So she was there for practices all the time. So she would help with like ice and splints and, you know, sprains and cuts and scrapes and the very generic type stuff. And then she ended up dating one of the football players. So
yeah, that happens.
Shocker. For me, I sat long and hard and tried to think about something that was like pure rage inducing. There's been some times or definitely have lost my cool and I've lost my temper. Both on the sports field, as well as the computer jobs, relationships, family, you name it. I've probably burned off at somebody or yelled at somebody or kind of got in a fist of rage, but I've never actually did any sort of like destruction. Right. There was one time where I can recall, I don't remember the full ass details of it, but I broke my guitar. The way I broke my guitar was it was standing or it was sitting on leaning against the wall. And I just looked and it was the first thing I saw and just smacked it and it fell and it broke on the neck. And it was an old acoustic guitar that my mom had had. She gave it to me when I was a kid. So I was able to repair it and glue it back together because it was a clean break, like a snap. Then other parts of it were broken too, but those were already broken. So it was, like I said, it was an old guitar. And it's just had its day in the sun. But I definitely regret even like getting to that point because it's not fun. It's not like, it's definitely not a proud moment. You know, I'm not proud of the fact that I reached that point, and I'm not proud of the fact that it's got to that point. There have been a few times where I've that was years ago. There's definitely times where I've been trying to. You had more of a specific example, but mine have just been sort of like reactions and stuff to things. Mine were misinterpretations or misunderstandings that I had, and I would go and talk to that person. And generally speaking, the people that I always confronted weren't good with confrontation.
Right.
And so they reacted the appropriate way for them. And I saw it as the inappropriate way for me, and I made it about me, and that made me even more angry. So it was like this cyclical nature of, well, I'm mad at you for doing this, and then that person, instead of saying my bad, I didn't mean to do that to upset you, it was, well, you thought of it wrong, like you're misinterpreting it, you're misunderstanding, and I don't see that in the moment because I just start seeing red, you know, and I'm just mad, and I don't want to hear it. I just want to hear what I think is the only thing that's viable in that situation, and I'm generally the one that's wrong, like every single time.
I don't want to say that same way.
I don't want to say it as like I think when it comes to like individuals, like one-on-one conversations with people, those can be really hard, especially whenever you're trying to come at it from a place of maybe like innocence. You're trying to just say like, hey, man, hey, dude, I just want to like, can we have a chat? Like, this is coming up and this is bothersome. Yeah, yeah. And this is, and a lot of times it's so eggshelly, you know, you want to walk on eggshells around that person because you don't want to offend them. You don't generally, I generally don't want to offend anybody.
No, me either.
But I do get really snarky sometimes when I feel offended or I feel like attacked.
Uh-huh.
Because like I said before, my defense is to fight fire with fire. You're going to come at me with a snarky comment, or you're going to say something about me personally or about something I did personally or whatever. I am generally going to fight back with something. And it's gotten me in trouble in previous jobs where I guess this is probably a good example too. A good story that I could share real quickly. So I was working at this grocery store here in Texas, and they have chains or locations all across the state, right? And so there's different regions, right? You know, there's the Austin Central Texas region, there's the South, you know, coastal region, there's the Houston region. So there's multiple like districts and stuff. And so some of the districts will have managers for the, they did something called a manager. It was called the School of Retail Management. And so it is a program that people go to up the ranks to learn how to be a manager of insert department here.
That sounds atrocious.
It was, but they kind of made it. So I only know about it from the department that I went through. Right. And other departments have different, you know, stories. And so it was a multi-week program. And so what I would do is I would go to these training classes, and then we would learn skill sets and like people, not people skills, but more like, can't really remember now, it's been so long, but they set you up for the job. And then there was, of course, on the job training. And so what they would do is they would assign you to a specific store, and it couldn't be the store that you came from because obviously you know all the people there.
Oh man, this is just like teaching.
So yeah.
Hey.
So when you move up or when you go to this program, they put you in a foreign store, like a store you've never been to, typically close to where your other store was, but it's definitely not the same people.
Right.
And you're partnered with the current managers there, and they coach you and train you to like get up to speed, so that way when you're done with that part, you get assigned your own store and you're no longer being coached or working with somebody. You are one of the managers. Like, that is your store,
right,
you know?
Right.
And I got partnered with a guy who had all these rumors about him, that he was like one of the best in the company, one of the best in the region.
Those are considerably better rumors than what people normally have.
They are. And so I guess, I don't know, like rumors has a negative connotation.
Yeah, it did, really.
but he, no, it was definitely like, good. Like, you hear all these things about him. Like, he was so great and he was so fantastic, and he helped out so many people get moved into their career. He's an excellent trainer. He was an excellent guy. All that jazz. And I was like, all right, well, that's cool. You know, like
you're going,
that.
You're going to the MLB.
I'm going to one of the big, I'm going to one of the big names. And I'm like, all right, that's cool. Like, leagues. I didn't know him personally, but I'm going to somebody who said all these things about him. So I get there, and I didn't go from like floor worker to what they would call sort of like a specialist, which was like, basically they were like assistant managers at the time, and then department manager. I didn't go to that assistant level. I just kind of skipped. And so I guess he and I did not click at all. If he had any sort of feedback to give me and I didn't understand it because it was so like out of left field, like I think I would be doing something so great. And then because we had to write recaps and reports and stuff every week to like training class. And he would constantly like I would write those emails and send them. And then he would pull me in the next day and he was like, why did you say this? I was like, say what? He's like, you said that you are understanding this and you're definitely not. So why would you say that? Why would you lie? I was like, lie? What do you mean? Like, he was that sort of like anal about it that he wouldn't teach me the thing. I guess he just expected that I knew a bunch of stuff and didn't know that I came from like the floor level, right? Like I didn't go through the assistant stuff and sort of have that like leadership style and put in. I had a leadership style from a previous store or a previous job, but every company, every place is going to do things differently. And so what I learned retail managing at one store, it didn't translate over to this store one-to-one. So I guess I wasn't doing things correctly. And all the feedback that I ever got was like, well, we're going to hold you back. And I'm like, okay, well, what does that mean? We're going to give you 4 more weeks of this class, but we're going to send you at another store. We're going to send you with like the best. And if this person can't help you, then you may need just some more time to, you may have to come back to the program again.
So they basically said it's your fault.
Pretty much. It was my fault that I wasn't getting these concepts. And I thought I was nailing it fine, but like he was one of those, mentors, one of those coaches that like, there was no praise involved. There was no like, hey, you did this well.
Yeah.
There was, hey, you don't do this well. You suck at this. You suck at that. You're not good at this. You're not good at that. These are the things you need to work on. These are the things you need to address. And so when I'd ask him like, hey, what exactly do you mean by this? Cause I don't understand what the problem is that you have with me. Cause it felt like he had a personal problem with me at one point. And we did kind of like have our little like spat about it. And we did kind of have it out in one of the offices. And that was probably the most angry I had ever been at like I get mad at customers, you know, like they come in and they yell at me for stuff. And I'm like, it's not my fault. I don't work in that department. I didn't make that decision. I didn't upset that customer. I didn't do the thing. So I don't know why, you know, they're just yelling at me to vent. So I get it. Same thing with my job now. I get frustrated because people yell at me about stuff, but in the back of my mind, I know they're not yelling at me, but it still feels like they are. Like I personally did something to their game or I did something to their character or something, but with him, it was just like, he literally thought I did something wrong. And so when I'd say, hey, can you explain what it is that I did that was so negative, so bad? And he would never come. He would just say vague, like, well, you're not understanding this concept. Okay, well, help me understand this concept.
Yeah.
Why can't you just accept feedback? And I'm like, well, I'm not saying that your feedback's wrong.
There you go. This is so typical, man.
So, yeah. So long to summarize the rest of that, I went to another store for like 4 more weeks and learned from that manager there. And she was like, hey, you know, I think you need a little more time, like as that supervisor role, like you need to be in that role so you can kind of work with somebody more, like you jumped the rank in a way. And like the way that you got in, like, that's awesome. But like, I guess you just, you know, it would be so much more helpful if you came from that bottom and then went up. And so one of the girls that was in the class with me, she made it through and I got put in the same store as her, but I was basically under her now.
Yeah.
So it was that weird, like, oh, we were the same level, but they didn't like me. So, and I don't recall specifics of that feedback, but it left a very, very sour taste in my mouth. And I was very bitter towards that program and that company as a whole. Yeah. I don't know. It just,
let's see.
That was 6 years ago at this point. So like, things have probably changed.
Yeah.
The thing that stuck with me was the fact that they told me I did not accept feedback well.
Right.
And I said, I'm not saying the feedback's not valid. I'm asking you to explain it to me. So me asking questions
was me trying to understand feedback well.
Was me yeah. not accepting the feedback to them.
Right.
But yeah, we had a pretty loud yelling match.
Sure.
One day, and their office was upstairs, but the upstairs is, think of a big grocery store, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
Think, just picture like a giant grocery store, and then upstairs, like there's a staircase on the side, and then there's like a balcony, and up on the balcony were all the manager offices, and they had glass so you could see
sure.
the floor, you know, the store and everything. And people said they could see us like
finger pointing,
and like, what's going on? Like, what do you fucking mean? Like getting in each other's face, and right. like, yeah. And so, yeah, it turned into a pretty bad.
And see, that is something that could have been avoided. So, like, if you would have gotten with the second manager off the bat, mm-hmm. even if the end result was the same, you didn't pass that particular.
The one that I got thing. Put with.
Yeah, the second next one.
4 weeks. Yeah.
Even if you didn't make it past it, the idea of saying, hey, I think that there's potential here, but I think that you need to take it one step at a time and go back down and work and then move up would have sat way better than someone just telling you, you suck, mm-hmm. suck at this. You could say, now, would you have still worked for that company? Would it have hurt your feelings? Who knows? Probably so. I mean, I know for me, it would hurt my feelings just to be told that I wasn't good enough, but
it stung. It was definitely a,
but as an adult,
shot to the ego.
Yeah. Yeah. But as an adult, you can kind of hindsight 2020 that joker and look and be like, you know what? At least they were they respected me enough to shoot it to me straight and not mm-hmm. be, you know, a total, you know what about it. Because like I was talking about my college coach, he was just a total, you know what about stuff. I mean, he basically told me point blank, you can make all the extraordinary plays, but you suck at making everything else. Anything routine hit to you, we don't think you're going to be able to make that play. Talk about a freaking confidence destroyer. So now when I go out there to play, they hit me a routine ground ball at shortstop. That's what I'm thinking about, dude.
I'm not going to get this. And then so guess what?
You don't get it. Yeah, it's like Borat, but
they're nice.
But I mean, that is the primary reason why I didn't play a second year. I played 1 year, and then people probably look at me and say, "Oh, well, he quit playing. He wasn't, you know, he's a quitter." Yeah, I did quit. And I had a big write up. I wrote up this whole letter to my brother, and then the year after I quit, I started being assistant coach for a high school team, the high school team that I eventually took over. And I put up my letter that I wrote to my brother, who was in high school at the time when I stopped playing baseball, and I hung it up in their locker room so that way they could read it. Quitting is not an easy task, and it takes a lot for something that you really love to push you to the point of quitting. So when I was basically told I wasn't good enough, yeah, it sucked. It made me feel really bad about myself. And it made me quit doing something that I really loved. And now, you know, I'm still involved in the sport, but it's not the same. I would love to be 30 years old playing right now. That would be pretty cool. I'd be way richer.
All right. Albert Pujols, calm down.
Yeah, right. But, like, your situation in that is so typical, though. Like, we see it a lot in sports, and it sucks that you see it in real-life situations, too. Of mm-hmm. someone that is good at something being a terrible instructor of that said thing. It's like, was that guy a good manager? You have an opinion. Maybe he was, maybe he wasn't. Who knows? But let's say he was. But if he couldn't relay the information to you well, then that's not you. That's not a you thing. That's a him.
Yep.
That's his fault. You know? And that's something that should be observed by people that are his boss. Well, does he relay information well? If not, let's not allow him to teach in this program.
Yeah, I I don't know. Like, it definitely felt like what I would report on my weekly recaps.
Sure.
What they would report on their weekly recaps, the store I was at just didn't mesh up. And so like the trainer, he pulled me aside one day and he was like, "So what's going on here?" I was like, "Dude, I have no idea. Like, I don't know what this guy has against me. He's not training me. He's basically doing it kind of like underhanded. It's like, hey, go do this and throw me to the wolves. And then if I don't do something he expects or didn't like, instead of telling me, hey, so here's what I saw. Here's what I expected, and like yep. make that dissertation or that sort of like determination there, and like explain to me, hey, next time we want to do this, we want to make this decision, we want to make that call. That never happened. It was just, all right, well, so I wouldn't, that's not what you're supposed to do. It's like, okay, cool. So I got a lot of what I wasn't supposed to do, not a lot of what I was supposed to do. So that's what a lot of frustration pain points came to me. And I was like, I don't know what his deal is, but like, he just keeps telling me what I'm messing up. He doesn't ever tell me what I'm doing right. And he doesn't ever come at me saying, hey, I see where you were going with that. You should have done it this way. That the reason why you do it this way is because blah.
Yeah.
Whatever. For sure. And that sort of like leadership style didn't fly with me. So he was like, well, he's like, you know, I'm getting different reports. Like you're saying that you're doing that things are going great, and he's saying things are going poor. And I was like, I don't know what to tell you, man. Like he tells me to do something, I do it.
Sure.
And if he doesn't like it, he doesn't tell me he doesn't like it, or he tells me he doesn't like it, but he doesn't tell me what to do to fix it. So I don't really feel like I'm being coached. I feel like I'm just being tested and chastised. Yep. Like, oh, you're bad at this. And I was like, I thought I was supposed to go here to get taught how to do this job. Like that was the whole reason of me going to this position in these locations was to prove. But
oh, for sure. Yeah. It's a crappy situation. But you're in a much better place now. Your job now is much better.
Yeah. I mean, job wise, yeah, it's just where I'm at currently, I like the job because I like the product and I like the company so far. I mean, obviously it's got its moments where things are
sure.
rough right now. but to put that lightly. The only problem with my job, my role is that there isn't really like a path up.
Yeah.
So I'll never improve past where I am now. And if I do want to move upwards, you know, by making more money, doing more, you know, productive work, I would most likely have to relocate. And that seems rough right now. So
sure.
But for what the job is, it's super easy. It's super chill. Like there's not really a whole lot of you suck kind of things.
Yeah.
There's expectations, but that's any job, you know. You can't just run wild. But we'll see. We got some exciting shit coming up.
So. I run wild at my job. I do what I want. And then I get fussed at.
But you're the AD, man. You can do a little more than some, right?
Microscopes, baby, is all I'm gonna say. Everything's under a microscope.
Little more. Oh, well, yeah.
So here's something I want to do, Jake. I think this would be fun.
Like fun.
Okay. All right. So we've both shared a personal story about something that we've raged about, or that could be considered rage, and it was a big situation. But there are those moments of just like pure frustration, rage that occurs. That's like, I won't say an everyday moment because you don't do it every day, but you know, something happens and just catches you in the right moment. And then you're just like, you do something as a reaction. And then later on, you're like, well, that was dumb, right? Just like little things like, oh, that was dumb. Like, for instance, if your microphone quit working right now and like you were trying to talk and it wasn't working, then you decide to smack that pop filter off of it. Like, is it rage? Nah, probably not. You're just super frustrated, but we do little things like that, right? So here's the game I want to play with you.
We're playing a game.
You ever You've ever played the game where they said like, oh, you've got to think of something that starts with the letter A. And so I'd be like, well, what's the category? We'll say fruit. And so I'd start with A. I'd say apple. And then you'd go banana. And I'd go cantaloupe. You'd say durian. And I'd say, you know, we go back and forth until someone eventually can't.
The ABCs,
yeah, yeah, or whatever. Until somebody eventually can't think of something. And so they stutter and they trip. And then boom, there's the winner, right? I want to play this game, except instead of doing ABCs, I just want to go back and forth. We'll give each other like 5 seconds of give time to think of like a random situation in which we just got mad and did something real quick. And then if we can get it within those 5 seconds, we just pass it on to the next person. And the first one of us to stumble loses.
Is this for like
this
personal?
Nah, well, I mean, this is just giggles. So, like, I'll give you an example, and use up one that I might be able to use during the game. But, like, say, got frustrated with my vacuum. I've actually done this. Frustrated with my vacuum cleaner because it was not suctioning properly, and I couldn't figure out what was wrong with it. So I just like kicked it. Right. Just like kicked it down, knocked it on the ground, frustrated. It's not rage. It's not like complete utter rage. Like rage would be me going and getting a baseball bat and like destroying this thing in the smithereens. But it is a moment of like, ah, screw it. Just getting mad.
Okay.
I
think I understand the game, but I might fuck up.
Oh, no. Well, you know what? Just as long as you don't get mad about it, it'll be okay.
There we go.
All right, I will let you start. You can just tell any small little moment of rage, and then it bounces to me, and I'll say something, and then it bounces back to you. Unless you're just not a very rageful person. There's little things that I do all the time. I'm like, oh, man.
I mean, I do get kind of angry, like I said before. Like, I get angry at some dumb shit, but, like,
and it doesn't have to be something that you've done. Just, you can just make up something.
Just something that's that's angry?
Or yeah, something that somebody would do in a fit of emotion.
So many. Like, I'm overthinking this really hard.
It's like picking something at Taco Bell. There's just so many options. What do you pick?
Well, clearly you pick the quesalupa that they don't have anymore.
Of course. It was delicious.
It was delicious. It was so cheesy. I don't know, dude. I can't think of like a good example. Like, I feel like I'm bad at this right now. No. You go first, because I need an example.
All right. Cool. So I have most definitely taken something like a can of corn that I couldn't get to open up with the can opener and chunked it into the woods in my backyard. I didn't throw away the can opener because obviously that
sure. Still can used. Opener didn't do anything.
Can opener
wrong.
Didn't do anything, wrong, but I chunked the can of corn into the woods.
But I'm a fuck you, corn. Let's see. Gosh. I don't know. I guess I could pick one. I stepped in dog shit in my house. My fucking 16 something year old dog. Yeah. I don't know how old he is. He's an old fucker. He likes to sleep in my room, like my office here, right by the door. The door is usually open, but it's closed now. He usually sleeps right there, and he decided to get up and just shit where he was sleeping.
Yeah.
I didn't see it or anything. I was out in the kitchen getting food and stuff, and come back inside and stepped right on the carpet, and it's like, I was like, what the fuck? And fresh new socks on.
Yep.
Right into the dog shit.
Yeah. That sucks. That would throw me into a fit of rage with my dog. In fact, last night, it was our first night home from vacation, and for whatever reason, my dog decided that she was not prepared to go to sleep and paced back and forth in the bedroom until somebody let her out, and then proceeded to go outside and raise holy terror barking at something. Just like barking.
Could have been an intruder, bro.
It was not an intruder. It was like the fourth time I had let her outside thinking that she had to go to the bathroom. And I already went to bed at like 1:30. And she did this four times between 1:30 and 6:30 this morning. So like when she came in the house, I was just so frustrated. So I just like grabbed her by the collar and just drug her through the house. And she, you know how dogs are. You get upset with them, they kind of do their little cowering thing. Like I didn't do anything to particularly hurt her, you know, but I was just like, nope, you are not going back outside. You're not staying in this bedroom. I said,
Peter's about to come shut the stream down.
Dragging that dog all the way to the bathroom. And I put her in her bathroom and shut the door. And the bathroom is where her water and her food is and where her bed is. She has everything that she needs to sleep comfortably in that bathroom. It is basically her kennel. But she wasn't coming out of that joker. From that moment, it had to be 5 o'clock in the morning. I had like an hour and a half left to sleep, and I was going to use every single minute of it, and it was going to be uninterrupted. But solid 40 feet was her just getting drugged by her collar into that bathroom.
My dog started doing the same thing, where not that literal same thing, but she would beg to go outside. We'd let her outside. She'd go pee, do her thing, like in our backyard, and she'd come back in. I'm like, all right, getting ready for bed. Give him a couple treats, a little bedtime snack.
Yeah.
As is our routine. Get comfy, get into the bed, and get all like settled, and I'm like nestled in, and I'm like, all right, it's about to go to sleep. And then all of a sudden in the background, I just hear this whimper and this whine and this. And so she will put her nose under the cover and like put her wet nose on my back of my leg or something. And I'm like, what the what? And then she cried like she needed water. Like we have a bathroom in our bedroom too, right? And there's water and stuff in there. And she sleeps on a little couch that we have in our bedroom. So like she doesn't really like have a bed, but she just decided to. I was like, I don't know what she needs. She just went outside. So I get back up, take her back outside. She pees again. I'm like, it's been 10 minutes. Why is she peeing again? I guess she like saw me and like decided to like get out, like, oh, cut it off and go in. And then she went outside two more times after that. And it was like over the course of an hour and a half, and it was already like 2:30 in the morning, and I was done. And finally I just like said, go outside one more time. I almost went to bed just with her out in the backyard, but I let her back in because I was like half asleep. I was just like, oh my. So I don't, that was pretty frustrating. That was a few nights ago. So like that just happened. Like, I don't know when, and it's just one night, just the one night that it happened, and she hasn't done it since. So
I don't know if this falls under the category of raging. And all you animal activists out there, I apologize for what I'm about to say. I did it in my sleep, and it happened twice, and neither time was I in a state of mind in which I was controlling what I was doing. Cause I don't remember either situation, but my wife, observed one, and my mom and dad observed one. When I was like, I don't know, man, 8 or 9 years old, something like that. We had a cat named Ozzy, after Ozzy Osbourne, and a black cat. And the way that we distinguished him from other cats is he had, I don't know what happened to his tail, but it was crooked. But he would run away all the time. So he was not a very good house pet. But I was, like I said, I was 8 or 9 years old. I was sleeping and I had my hand hanging off of the bed, and the cat just like come up and just like rubbed against my hand, like purring and stuff, is what my parents said. So they just watched the cat walk into the room. And then the next thing they heard was just the cat like screech. And when they walked in my sleep, I had grabbed the cat by the neck and was just holding the cat. They said I was still dead asleep, like had no idea what was going on. Cat had a hold of my arm and I was just holding the cat out straight, just completely asleep. They had to pry my hand open and wake me up to get me to let go of the cat. I don't remember it. Then when I was in college, I got my wife a cat as a present. His name was Tucker and he was awesome, but he had this terrible habit of going up to the door and just pawing like this to try to get out. And then you'd open up the door and he'd just sit there and would never go through the actual threshold. So he was just, he was nicknamed Tucker the blank for reasons, and they rhymed. It was two words that rhymed, but he was a really cool cat.
Tucker the mother lover?
The mother lover. But at one point, he had gotten on the bed. Yeah, maybe he was a vampire and he didn't invite him in. But at one point, Tucker got up on the bed and I was like trying to lay on top of my face or something. He tended to do that too. So it's a good thing that we made him an outside cat by the time we had kids, because that would have been scary. But like, he tried to lay on top of my face. And my wife said that I kept saying stuff in my sleep, and she got up and she looked. And by the time she looked, I had grabbed Tucker by the scruff on the back of his neck and just yeeted him across the room. She said he hit like 5 foot up the wall and it just hit the floor and scurried off, like ran off. But I have no idea. I was completely asleep. I had no clue. Yeah, maybe in my dream I thought something was on my face and I just grabbed it and chunked it. It's the only thing I could think of. But
yeah, cat.
It was a cat, but I didn't know it was a cat at the time. So Tucker, RIP, I'm sorry for throwing you against the wall. Ozzy, RIP. I did not kill him in that moment.
That was a terrible segue, by the way. Just like, so I threw my cat, I yeeted him. RIP, Tucker. Excuse me, sir?
No.
Okay,
Tucker.
Okay, good.
Tucker lived several years. He randomly died. We don't know what happened to him. He was just dead on the front porch one day. Completely good the day before, ate all of his food and stuff, and then just dead on the front porch.
No one cares about your fucking cat.
I like cats. Cats aren't my favorite. I would not get another cat unless we had a lot of mice, and then I would get a cat. But Tucker was chill. I like dogs.
How did you come up with the name Tucker? I've already forgotten what game we were playing, because we were apparently just talking about being mad at our animals.
Yeah.
You're over here throwing them and killing them and shit. Like,
I did not kill my cat. I did not kill my cat. Don't call them, please. But I don't know where
the fucking red paint on your house.
Right. I don't know where Tucker came from. Tucker, I don't think Tucker came from any like cultural icon, like a game or a song or like.
Red versus Blue. You were a Tanya Tucker fan, weren't you?
I don't even know who that is.
Delta Dawn.
Nah, I don't know.
Are you the country boy and you don't know fucking Tanya Tucker?
I don't. Don't
need to educate yourself on some old 90s country.
I will. But yeah, no, I think we just like the name Tucker, so we named him Tucker. And in fact, I remember when we named him Tucker was after his first vet visit with us, because we had to ask the vet, is this a boy or a girl cat? And he was like, yeah, it's a boy. And I was like, where's his balls at?
You didn't do the whole lift the tail and like, look?
I was like, where's his balls at? And they were like, he's got them. They just ain't very big. You just can't see them. I was like, all right.
How did we go?
I looked. Hey.
How did we go from?
Well, here. Listen, I'm gonna say two things. One, I think we need to finish this thing up on how do we like stop ourselves from raging, and two, Yeah. I want to, seeing how I have everybody's attention on cats, if you have never seen a cat penis, don't do it.
Well, now they're going to because you
don't do it. Do not
put the thought in their brain, and now they're going to sit here and go, I'm doing it. I'm looking it up. Let's go.
What is it? Anatomically? Is that the anatomically, it is horrendous. It's got barbs, man. You ever hear cats mating? It is not. Yeah. They don't have a good time. It's because that
shit's stuck in there, dude.
Right. It's like a thorn. It's in there, and it's cringy.
I'm not ready for this.
Oh, did you look it up?
No. Why? Don't do this to people.
Don't look it up. I told y'all not to. This is a fair warning.
I don't know that this is appropriate for this.
It would make me rage if humans were similar. I can't say that word. It would make me mad.
So yeah, going back to the actual stuff here.
How do you keep yourself from raging? Yeah.
How to not do this? I don't very well. I still get mad. There's a lot of times where you guys may not hear it or see it. By you guys, I mean people in Discords or raid groups or different things, because the mute button is my friend.
Nice.
And I usually just end up whispering somebody and telling them that this person's annoying me, or this scenario is annoying me, or it's really frustrating that the same thing is happening 55 times in a row now because somebody's not doing this or that, or insert particular annoyance here.
Sure.
I guess the best thing that I can say that like helps me deal with it is to like talk about it, but that doesn't like help me prevent, like, my brain doesn't have a function to stop. And if something pisses me off or something comes at me, like I said before, I'm a very fight.
Yeah.
In the fight or flight. Like, I don't, when it comes to like attacks and somebody saying something and you suck or you did it. So, excuse me. I guess my number one thing is to just like, if I'm mad at a scenario or if I'm mad at like conversation that I had with somebody, a good angry heavy song will generally do the trick. Just something that's like, depends on the level, but sometimes I'll put on like, this is gonna sound really fucking like dark, but I'll put on like "Kill You" by Eminem or something like that.
Yeah,
and it'll be "I'm gonna kill you," and then like that song will just be like, "You don't want to fuck with me," and like
that'd be the reason why he made the song, you know, for people to yell that. Yeah,
possibly. But that's it. Generally, music it never happens in the heat of the moment. It generally happens minutes, maybe hours later, days sometimes, depending.
It's interesting our dynamic we have here. I am not a fighter. I do not like confrontation. If we get in a confrontation,
picked up on that.
Yeah. If we have confrontation, picked up on that, I should say.
You and I?
No, I'm just saying like we being
like you and someone else. Yeah. Gotcha. Okay.
There would have to be a legitimate reason, and I would have to like you enough to do that. And I say it that way because like, a lot of times I'll have people, you can tell when they ask a question where the confrontation's going to be at, like they're asking a question for a particular reason. I don't feel like handling it. I don't feel like dealing with that confrontation. I don't think it's, if I deem it as something that is, unnecessary or, like just your everyday run of the mill, I'm annoyed about this, sort of situation, I will be like, thank you so much for your insight. I appreciate this information. This is really good. Or I'll like agree. But yeah, no, that also annoys me. Let's see if we can do something to fix that. Like, that is my go-to, is instead of confronting, like fighting head on, is okay, yeah, I can see your point. Where can we find a resolution? When I have somebody I feel really confident in, like if we go rounds on this, that we're gonna come out of it, like, you know what, we're cool. A la my wife, for example, me and my wife will go back and forth on stuff over and over and over again, and we will fight, but we will not go to bed until we've come to a resolution, until we've decided, like, okay, we feel good about this, we're gonna call it a night, everything's good. If I'm willing to argue with you about something, I have a lot of respect for you. And if there's people that have listened to this or are going to listen to this, and you have not had an argument with me, that does not mean that I don't respect you. But it probably does mean that whatever situation you might bring to me, if it's not something I think is a really serious thing or something that we can't just fix by being cordial, then, you know, I'm not going to buy into your potential confrontation. Basically, if we're gonna duke it out, it's got to be over something serious and something strongly felt differently on both sides. I will get my feelings hurt sometimes, and I will be upset, but I won't bring it up to someone. But I typically can just like go to bed, and then when I wake up, I'm like, all right, I'm done with that. It is no longer worthy of my attention. I've got other stuff I've got to do. So basically, my advice to people that are listening to this that want to try to find a way to alleviate their anger, not issues, but just alleviate their anger a little bit. If it's anger towards a person, find a resolution. Like, think of something that is going to work for both sides and be diligent on that. Find a resolution. If it's anger over a situation, ask yourself, is it in your control? If it's not in your control, there's no reason to stay angry about it. Find who controls it, and then approach them with like a calm and collected attitude about it. Like, if you go to somebody and be like, hey, you SOB, this is da da da, you know, like people do to you and your job, Jake, like they're gonna come at you aggressively sometimes because they're upset about what's going on, when you have nothing to do with it. You can just help resolve the situation, right? Sure. Sometimes, most of the time. But like, don't come like flustered and upset at somebody else over something that you can't control. And if it's something that you can control, self-reflect. Look in the freaking mirror. Figure it out. Yeah. I don't know. That's not, it's terrible.
Sorry,
Jake.
Did I get that backwards?
don't. No. Regardless.
I fixed it. But no, you definitely have those are some solid points. Those are some good the hardest thing to think about, honestly, in the moment is it out of my control?
Because
mm-hmm. generally it mm-hmm. feels like it is. You mentioned like having an argument and like not wanting to go to bed until it's like resolved and stuff. Like, I hate unresolved conflicts myself.
Oh, absolutely.
Not everybody that I interact with can resolve stuff right away and on my schedule, because I want it done. You know, yep. Hey, we had a disagreement. Let's knock this out right now. Let's
fix it.
And it's like those people sometimes are like, I need processing time. And they even struggle with saying they have processing needs. Like, because sometimes they can't just say, hey, I need some time to think about it.
Yeah,
I kind of just have to pick up on that vibe and be like, nope, I should realize this by now. You know, this is how this is going to go. But initially it sucks because I have to like get angry about it. And then I have to go, okay, we're going to talk about this in 20 minutes, 30 minutes, whatever. I literally had a situation today where it was a misunderstanding, and the person couldn't fucking say something that was going on because it was a timed based thing and they had like 3 seconds, and the 3 seconds were more so about the people that they were interacting with and not something that I was saying. And I was like, well, I guess I'll just see myself out. But it wasn't a me problem, or it wasn't them having a problem with me. It was them having a problem amongst themselves. And I was kind of like the third person, the third wheel that came in, and I don't know, there's 5-6 people, whatever. I was the odd person out, and I came in. And it was just like
19th wheel on this 18 wheeler.
Listen, I just wanted to like, I'm the lock on the back of the
It's the truck spare tire.
I mean, I got plenty of that, so not a fat joke.
It was not. It was
like, not. Man, what do we want to end on? How do we want to wrap this little package up?
I want to say we are putting out the podcast on Spotify currently. I'm going to let Jake see if he can handle the Apple stuff, because I'm not familiar with iTunes and I this and I that. I have an iPhone, but I don't ever like listen to any stuff. We're gonna try to get it out there as well. We will always be live on Twitch Mondays with the podcast, and we'll try to get it out a couple days after that. We have one podcast that's already out on Spotify. If you want to go listen to it, even if you don't listen to it, please go like it, follow it, share it with your friends. They might like it. If you have any friends that are,
I don't have any friends.
Okay. If you have any friends that are strong animal activists, do not show them this podcast. I apologized. I was asleep. I didn't do it on purpose, but they still might be mad at me. My wife does.
I thought you were more so about the cat anatomy.
My wife gets mad at me all the time over stuff I do in her dreams. So, I mean, if they're going to be mad at me over things I do in my sleep, then so be it. I think that we need to kind of figure out what we're going to do next week. You got any ideas, Mr. Jake?
I did like 10 minutes ago, and I was going to write it down, but then I forgot. So, no.
Perfect. I had one pop up in my head. I'm not sure if you're diggity down with this, but
is it cat ads?
It's not, has nothing to do with cats.
Or cat facts? Oh.
Has nothing to do with cats. Friends that you had online or even in person that are no longer your friends, and how that relationship started and how it ended. Interesting.
Mine was gonna be more along the lines of like favorite food. But no, I don't remember.
Deep?
I don't.
How
yeah,
deep?
No. Somebody was saying something a minute ago, and we were talking about.
We're talking about Taco Bell at one point.
No, not food related. Like we were talking about.
It was cat. Penis?
Yeah, cat anatomy. I got but like, I don't know.
Boondock Saints and a vampire.
Yep. No, it was after that. I can't remember. It was something along the lines of relating video game or relating your real life to something.
I got you. Well,
I don't know.
For all you people listening. Join Discord. If you are better at coming up with stuff for me and Rocket to talk about than what me and Rocket are actually.
I mean, I'll think about it over the week.
Yeah.
But
for
I
sure.
won't necessarily have it like
ahead of time. We're not gonna label what next week's podcast is gonna be at all right now. Favorite fast foods that no longer exist. Ooh.
I don't know if I can talk for an hour about the Chalupa, quesalupa, man. Like that.
I mean, you probably could.
McRib?
We could dissect.
The McRib's about to come back, I think. Like,
is it? Is it ever really gone?
Well, that's one of those things where it's like favorite fast foods that no longer exist, for like a long time, or something that's like seasonal that comes back like every so often. Because the Quesalupa came back, the McRib always comes back.
Listen, man, they need to bring back and keep back the nacho fries, Taco Bell. It's an S tier. Well, they all like they've had it and they've gotten rid of it. Chicken McGangbang. I don't know what that is. I don't think I'm going to eat that.
Anything with gangbang in it, I don't know that I want to put anywhere near my mouth.
Yeah, no. Oh, nope. Not no, but heck no, buddy. But yeah, no, this is
good. Nobody listen to techno.
This is a good podcast. This is very insightful. I'm glad that we were able to share some stories, Jake. You're a very interesting guy. I like that. I'm less interesting.
Listen.
More aggressive in my sleep, though, apparently, in real life.
I was about to say, your sleep is aggro. Your sleep aggro is top tier.
Yeah.
But you're, especially when it comes to cats on their, and McDonald's had cinnamon rolls. I had no idea. No, they have them now.
Oh no. Okay. What? I have it. McDonald's has gotten rid of this and I will personally punch whoever made this decision in the face to take away this from McDonald's. Whoever, if you're listening to this right now,
yeah, Mr. McDonald's man,
Mr. McDonald's person, probably named Gary, freaking Gary's. Anyway, if you're listening, Gary from McDonald's, and you made the decision to pull the bacon, egg, and cheese bagel from the breakfast menu, we got some serious issues. I want you to come to my house and allow me to punch you directly in the face. Gary.
Why would they get rid of that? I didn't even know that was a thing, first of all.
One, it was a number 13. Two, it was delicious. Three, they just suddenly stopped selling it. So now, I have to go eat a generic bacon, egg, and cheese biscuit, or I have to go and suffer through the sweetness of the McGriddle.
Fuck you, man. McGriddles are great. I'll say it.
Change.org. So you just...
Bro, I found this. I found somebody had a petition
to bring it back. I am signing this. I am signing this petition right now. I'm gonna sign up with
this guy says for 20 years I've been enjoying my bacon, egg, and cheese bagel once a month minimum. Then one day during this depressing pandemic, I woke up to go to McDonald's and they tell me they were out.
I'm so mad. I was so upset.
You know what's great is that this is fucking amazing segue for both like what we talked about today and what maybe we talk about next week is food things. Because it made you mad. It gave you some fit of rage that they decided to get rid of it.
If they ever get rid of
the McGriddles, then I will join you in punching whoever decided to do
that. And I can't. McGriddles. I like the McGriddle. It's not my favorite. I'm just gonna put it out there. No, tomato.
They also got rid of something called an egg white delight, and it was basically their egg McMuffin, but they used egg whites and like white American cheese or white cheddar cheese or something.
See, that sounds great.
And it was fucking delicious, and they got rid of it. Bitter about that. Yeah. So see, she knows because like that was our fucking jam. Like that shit, we get like three of those. Like, all right, man, I'm so good. But
somebody please clip that sound. We need to play that sound again and again.
Yep, there we go. Unfollow, we're out. Here we go, boys and girls.
We did it.
That's terrible.
So anyway, yeah, let's go ahead and peace out on this thing. This is a good podcast. It's fun. Next week might have something to do with McDonald's employees being attacked by podcasters, but it may also have something to do with just your favorite fast food item that no longer exists. Find us on Spotify. We're going to get set up on iTunes or whatever it is that the podcast comes through on the Apple side of things. And you can always find us on Twitch. I am twitch.tv/Mr. MYSTERE gamer. And you can find Jake at twitch.tv/badrocket1. All together. Bad Rocket One. Feel free to join the Discord. We have 200 plus odd people that are there for all various different reasons, and you can go in there and tell us what fast food item no longer exists that you're upset about, and we'll talk about it. Jake, you got anything?
That's you kind of nailed all the outros, man. Like, one thing I can tell people is just, you know, life's too short. Live it. Dream it. YOLO.
As the kids would say, YOLO.
Y-O.
Y-O. L-O. All right. Well, how's this thing go? Peace up. A-Town down. Remember, go good Braves. Luck. Good luck. Have fun. Go Braves this week. World Series. And make smart choices this week.
Bing, bang, boom.
See y'all later.
Goodbye. Bye.